everyone. Thanks for joining me on the Slice of Finance podcast. This is our first episode ever, and we're kicking it off with the Chief Operating Officer of Rain, Fred Choquette.
Hey, nice to meet you.
So amazing to have you here. I'm excited. Let's dive right in. Tell the audience about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Fred, Chief Operating Officer at Rain. LA-based fintech startup. We work in the earned wage access space, which is sort of a new and growing space of employee benefits. Really what we do, earned wage access is like a fancy term for saying we do income streaming. The idea that you get paid every 2 weeks or once a month for many people is kind of crazy. It's this built on this outdated concept that we've just had in our minds for a long time. Hey, you get paid every 2 weeks and that's just the way it is and that's the way it's going to be. And it doesn't have to be that way, right? The truth is the tech is there for people to get paid whenever they want. Been at it for, 4 years now and very excited, to be part of the team and growing this amazing company.
And congrats, by the way, on your recent round of financing. Super exciting. I think it was $300 million raised, right?
Correct.
That is unbelievable. I know our audience would love to hear a little bit about that because it kind of ties in with, we'll get into kind of how things started and the early challenges you face, but I wanted to give you that opportunity too to talk about this latest financing. And it's kind of like we talk about where you're heading now and then we go back to the flashbacks and kind of switch between that. So tell us, who participated and, where you'll end up focusing those use of proceeds.
Yeah, so this $300 million is actually, there's only one focus for it, and it's to help us grow user draws. So if you think about our business, we are in the business of moving money. We move money from Rain to the users, and users being the end employees. And then on payday, the employers pay us back for whatever we sent their employees. And so last year we did about $1 billion in disbursements. This $300 million is going to allow us to do about $10 billion in disbursements. So it can grow, up to 10x. And so we're really excited about that. As we sign more and more employers, we are getting more and more employees who need the service. And we just need to be able to keep up with the demand. So this entire round is debt capital. And the debt capital is used to fund user draws. We are pretty close as a company to being cash flow positive. And so we don't necessarily need to raise equity at the moment. And so this round was just really a question of how do we grow our capacity to fund user draws as we sign larger and larger employers.
I get the immediate benefit, right, to the employees. Is the largest benefit to the employers that this is like this, things are changing? This is a necessary employer benefit that needs to be offered, or employee benefit that they need to be offering. Like, what does that look like? What are those discussions? Where is the biggest pain point that you see you're solving for the employer side of things?
Yeah, so for the employer, there's really three big points. Number one is increase in retention. So retention, if you think about the industries that we serve, is a major issue. Number two is increase in productivity. And number three is increase in job applications. So just like, let's take each three of the points, but one at a time. So the increase in productivity the increase in retention, the first point, comes from the employees that use Rain are more likely to stay with their employers. And they stay for a longer period of time. So take our standard industry. We work with a number of different industries, but let's take the fast food QSR industry as one. The average employee tenure is about 10 months. So every 10 months, your employer is churning their entire workforce. So within less than a year, every single person that works at like a McDonald's basically turns over, apart from like the manager, right? Or a couple people, but other roles turn over two or three times. And so on average, the entire workforce is turning over every 10 months, which is crazy. And then the average cost of recruiting, recruiting and training is about $3,500 for the fast food industry. Well, the employees that are on the Rain platform after 6 months, and we see this because we have hard data, right? We ingest all employee data. And so it's easier for us to calculate employees that are using Rain versus employees that are not using Rain and what the retention rates are. The employees that are using RAIN after 6 months on average have 49% higher retention. In the fast food industry, it's even higher, right? It goes up to 60% increase in retention. So it's a huge increase in retention and therefore a big cost saving for the retention. The second piece is employee productivity. So when you think about employee productivity, it's really, we measure this as like number of hours worked. And when you're living paycheck to paycheck, which by the way, we didn't touch on yet, but 60% of households in the US have less than $500 in savings. So this is pretty widespread, right? The idea of living paycheck to paycheck. And it's not just people in lower incomes. Oftentimes it's, you know, anywhere from $0 to $100,000 in annual earnings. You know, a large portion of those individuals will be living paycheck to paycheck. And so let's say you're living paycheck to paycheck and you work at a hotel and then you had some sort of emergency 2 days ago and now your savings are depleted and you have gas and groceries to cover because you've got two kids and you need to get around, but you're not getting paid until next Friday, 8 days from now. Well, what do you do? You could go work at your hotel job and not get paid, until 8 days from now. Or you could go do Uber or Instacart, or you could go work for your cousin that may have like some cash paying job, they go do some like odd jobs here and there. So you have no choice really. You need the cash. You're going to go do the jobs that pay you, on a daily basis. And so what we see is the average employee that uses RAIN is actually working 22 more hours per month, which is a huge number of hours, right? And it's not that they're like sitting there doing a ton of overtime. It's just they actually, absenteeism is a big problem, especially when you're in the hourly workforce. And it's because of those reasons. It's not because people are lazy. It's because they need cash now. And so we help reduce absenteeism and therefore the employees work more hours, which helps the employers because they actually need fewer employees to do the same job. So once again, there's big cost saving there. And those are both, I'll say those first two buckets. It's very easy for us to calculate the data because, like I said, we're plugged into the payroll and timekeeping infrastructure, right? We've built this big layer on top of payroll and timekeeping, and we know in real time how much every employee has earned, and so we can calculate that. The third bucket is a little more qualitative, and it's more of anecdotal evidence from our employers. But our employers say that when they post the benefit, they won't call it earned wage access, but they'll just say, hey, we'll pay you daily, right? Access to income daily. They see up to 2 times more job applications for the postings that say that they pay daily versus the ones that don't say that they pay daily. So those are really the three major benefits for employers.
And in terms of the business model, what does the business model look like today?
Yeah, so, and maybe this, we can sort of go back to the beginning. RAIN is a fairly young company in the space, right? There was, the first company to ever do this was a company called PayActive in 2012. And then DailyPay, which is now the behemoth in the space, came about in, I think, like 2015. And those two, in the early days, and I don't blame them, those two started making their way as a free benefit to employers and a small transaction fee to employees. And so the majority of the space remains that way. It's like very much a Venmo model where employees have two options. They can do instant push to any debit card that they want in the US for a small fee or free next day ACH. Or that's what we do at RAIN, right? Different players will have different things. So we always offer, both options at any given point. Now, our belief at RAIN is that access to your earned wages should be free. Right, we really think that it should be a right. The idea that you have to wait a few weeks to get paid, or versus pay a little bit of money and get paid today, that shouldn't be the case. It should be free. And so we're working towards a number of models where that actually can be the case. Right, so it's in a way, if you think about it, it's monetizing value add products for employees that they'll use, and then instead, right, if you use those products, you'll have access to your earned wages for free. One idea, and it's not just an idea, it's an execution, is the idea of banking. So the banking system today is completely broken. If you think about it, banks across 5 product categories. So account fees, because you don't have a minimum balance in your account, overdraft fees, late payment fees, unsecured loans, and credit card interest. Banks make $150 billion in revenue in the US per year, just from the demographic that has less than $500 in savings. Then you add on top of that the payday lending industry, right? That's another like 20 or 30 billion annual industry per year in the US. That's $170 billion, right, in revenue per year. So put that, you know, those dollars versus the number of households in the US that are living paycheck to paycheck. And essentially the average household in the US is paying $1,400 in fees because they don't have access to their money when they need it from, you know, our traditional financial institutions. And they only have $500 in savings. So they're paying like 3x the amount that they have in savings in fees. Imagine if instead of paying those fees, they could have it in their bank account. So what we're doing is we're actually starting to bank those employees. We're saying, hey, bank with Rain and we'll give you access to your earned wages for free in real time. We'll stream your income. You finish your shift, you finish your day, whether you're salaried or hourly, we'll push the money directly to your bank account for free. All you got to do is use us as your bank. And that way for Rain, what we're doing is we're monetizing through value add services. So for example, one of the ways that banks monetize is interchange. Every time you swipe your debit card, the network charges a fee to the merchant, and the bank or the program administrator is allowed to receive a share of that. Costs nothing to the employee. Employee spends their money like they normally would. There's no fee to them, and we're able to generate revenue there. Also, you know, now in a high interest rate environment, there's interest rate on deposits where we can make money. And there are a number of other ways. But essentially what we're trying to do is make a bank that is fee-free to employees and that gives you access to your earned wages. And we've built the infrastructure, right, through our whole distribution network of employers to be able to give the majority of employees in the US access to earned wages for free.
You really flipped the script. You took a totally different approach to it, which is, it kind of, you know, my background was I always focused in on healthcare. And basically what you're doing is when we talk about the best healthcare companies, they end up focusing on the patients first, right? And that's really what you're doing. You're focusing on the consumer, those employees. So really interesting approach. In the early days, because you've been in this role now for a few years, what were some of the early stage challenges that you faced and how did you move past them?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of them. Just brief history on Rain. So co-founder, there are three co-founders, Alex, Jen, and G. Alex being the CEO, Jen is our head of sales, and G was our first CTO. Alex reached out to me in I think it was December of 2019 or, you know, early 2019. And at the time it was just an idea that they were working on. It was very clear that they were going to do it. And he told me about this and I was at McKinsey at the time and I became obsessed with the idea, right? This idea was very clearly something that, that should be done. The big question I had, you know, was, well, how do you connect, you know, the payroll and timekeeping industry is just so fragmented. And how do you build a tech layer that connects there? Because in the US alone, there's like over 200 payroll systems, massive long tail. And there's a lot of nuance between the different payroll systems. And then there's, you know, call it another 400 timekeeping systems. And so you have to build integrations and you have to be able to ingest data to all of those. And so my big question was, how are you going to do this? Because it's going to take a massive engineering effort. And so fast forward a few years, maybe like, I think 2 years when we raised our Series A, we, you know, really got lucky with the timing of our Series A. And we were able to raise a decent war chest at the time, 116 million. And we hired a huge group of engineers. At our peak, I think we had 120 engineers. And we plugged into every payroll and timekeeping system. But before that, right, it was always sort of the chicken or the egg. We'd go like to one employer and we'd say, hey, you know, we're interested in working with you. They'd say, great. Are you plugged into our payroll and timekeeping system? We'd say, no. They say, well, come back when you're plugged into our payroll and timekeeping system. Then we go to the payroll and timekeeping system and we'd say, hey, we'd love to, you know, build the integration. And they'd say, well, do you have any clients? We're like, well, no, but they want to, you know, they're interested. But, you know, and they'd say, well, come back once that client signs. And so it was really difficult. And so we sort of had like, you know, build a scrappy way to do that. And then eventually, once we raised that Series A, we got recognition in the market. We were able to do, you know, much more, we were much more proficient at integrations. And it was easier, right? That we had some sort of brand name in the market to be able to go and do those integrations. So that was a big problem, right? Was just building that massive network of integrations. The other big innovation that we came up with, which was difficult, I mean, we had so many sleepless nights in the early days, was getting paid back. It's very easy to send people money, right? Visa and MasterCard, they've built amazing rails and debit card rails, and ACH rails are sort of clunky, but it's super easy, right? To send money, everyone wants to receive money. Getting paid back is a whole other story. And it's not that employers don't want to pay you back, but once again, it's that the payroll systems in the US are so fragmented. So, okay, fine, there's 200 payroll systems. Then each of those payroll systems sometimes have dozens of different, you know, sub layers or sub integrations. Some of them are on-prem, some of them are in the cloud, some of them are just like spreadsheet based. It's like super clunky. And so what we had to do was really innovate on the traditional 401k rails of delivering deduction files. So you know how when you change your 401k allocation, you essentially, it takes like one or two pay periods, right? You'll change your 401k allocation, two pay periods later, you'll see, okay, now it's deducting whatever I told it to deduct. But that doesn't work for us because employees are doing transactions in real time every week. And so we had to basically build dynamic rails to the payroll systems that allow us to deliver deduction files in real time. So an employee can do a transaction, you know, 10 seconds before the pay period closes, we'll still deliver that deduction file or that transaction to the deduction file in real time. And then from there, we had to build the ability to get paid back from the employer. So how do you actually pull from those bank accounts? And that's really, really important. In the early days, it's less important when you're, you know, dealing with your own cash and it's you're at small scale. But once you're, you know, you're doing billions in disbursements every year, every day matters, right? If you get paid, you know, 5 days late for on average per employer, that's a lot of money that's outstanding and that's out there in the system, and you're paying a lot more interest. And so, yeah, that was another big innovation, was the ability to get paid back in real time. And we lost so many sleepless nights there. That was really, really, really difficult. So many fire drills, weekends, because it's always on Friday, right? Friday, the deduction files don't deliver. Then you spend the whole weekend trying to fix it. That was difficult.
Yeah, given the nature of your business, you had probably a lot of weekend sessions that came about, right? Because of that Friday payday or Thursday payday, right? It's usually always Thursday or Friday for most paydays.
Actually, no. Now we're fairly uniform. Friday's our biggest day by far, but we have people getting paid on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays. And that's because, so there's like different pay cycles in the US. There are people that are paid, you know, bi-weekly. And so it's like every second Friday. But then there are people that are paid basically like semi-monthly. And so that's just, it's a rolling 2 weeks. So instead of every other Friday, it's a rolling 2 weeks. And it's like, it just, the date can fall on any day of the week. And then there's people that are paid monthly, right? And once again, if the 30th is on a Monday or it's on a Friday, there's no difference. So there's just a lot of different pay cycles in the US.
What's next for the company? Obviously, you recently closed this round of funding. You told us a little bit about where the use of proceeds are going, but what's next that really excites you in terms of the next phase of the company?
Yeah, we have a lot of internal discussions about this because we've been so focused on this one, you know, this one singular product, which is really, really important. And I think there's no question that over the next, you know, 5 years, there's still going to be a pretty significant focus on this product. There's still a lot of work to do. Adoption is still really low. You know, when you think about the total addressable market in the US and the number of employers, it's still really low. And so there's a lot of work to do there. Specifically, I think one big area for us that we want to focus on in, call it the next 2 years, is being able to serve smaller employers. So today we serve, you know, our average employer has, you know, thousands of employees. And so we're working with the larger employers in the market. But maybe, you know, 40 to 50% of the workforce in the US is working at like mom and pop shops, right? They're working on Main Street. And they generally have like even simpler payroll systems. And so we're working to go and solve those that issue, right, of working with the smaller employers. If you think past earned wage access, so there are a lot of, and earned wage access, when you think about it at its core, is we're an employee benefit, right? We're a benefit that employers offer to their employees. The employee benefit space is massively fragmented. There's a huge fragmentation of different benefits. Most of them people never use. There's also a need, right? Think about how you as an employee manage your work life or everything related to your work. You go to your retirement account on one website. You go to your healthcare on a different website. You go to your, whatever fitness class or, employee sponsored mental health app somewhere else. And then, you do earned wage access on a different app, but it's like very fragmented. And there's literally, if you go to like the HR tech conferences, there's hundreds of different models that are out there, but there's, we think, a play to consolidate a lot of that. That's not to say M&A consolidation, but more to build on top of the adoption that we have today. And so most benefits see very low adoption. Healthcare has high adoption, obviously. Earned wage access, we believe, is the highest used benefit of all of them. We're seeing, 30% of the employee base of any employer is doing, is opening the app almost every single day and is doing multiple transactions per month. Find me another benefit where the employees are actually going to look at their app every single day. That doesn't happen. So we've got the eyeballs. And so since we have the eyeballs, we have the adoption, we have people using the app, what else can we build on top of that that essentially, complements the employee, wealth and health and fitness and financial wellness space. So yeah, I think it's a question of building a suite of products that are complementary to earned wage access, but that builds on top of the good, financial foundation that we built.
So interesting, Fred. And I'm so excited for you and the team as you continue to embark on this this big vision. And congrats on all of the success thus far. I mean, a $300 million round of funding is not easy to come by in any market. So that is super exciting for you and the team. I hope we can have you come back on at some point and give us an update on where things are at and maybe where the market's at. But I want to thank you so much for being the first guest on this podcast. I'm really excited to continue to grow it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.